This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
News Talk 580-1059 KMJ. Good evening. Welcome to hour number four of your Afternoon Drive on Recall Tuesday. Phone numbers are 490-5858. Toll free. Join us at 800-776-5858. On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live, you'll find the show at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly stands by to screen your calls while I join Skip Echeverria back in the KMJ studios with your trending topics at 5 o'clock.
After months of grassroots efforts, today is Recall Tuesday. Voters will decide if Governor Newsom keeps his job. Polls close at 8 p.m., and we'll have the first tabulation of votes quickly after. Keep tabs on the recall election results all night at our KMJ social media feeds. Just follow at KMJNow.com.
Sad news today as it was announced that comedian and Saturday Night Live alum Norm MacDonald has passed away, 61 years old, after a nine-year-long battle against cancer.
A coalition of Valley lawmakers, including Senators Andres Borges, Melissa Hurtado, and Anna Caballero, along with Assemblymembers Jim Patterson and Rudy Salas, are calling on Newsom to shift pandemic unemployment benefits to back-to-work bonuses to help small businesses struggling to find employees.
In an effort to mitigate COVID-19 exposure after students spend their Thanksgiving holiday at home, Fresno State is considering a return to virtual learning for the final weeks of the fall semester. It's your trending topics at 5 o'clock. For those stories and a lot more, get the podcast with Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for KMJ's Afternoon Drive or visit KMJNow.com. So dramatic.
So dramatic. Can I just sneak in a little piece of news that was just circulating on the Fresno Unified Twitter feed? Because we talked earlier about that Fresno is offering travel nurses as much as $9,500 a week to work, right? Because we're so short of people and COVID is an issue. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the struggle to find teachers to put them in the classrooms to help out with issues related to COVID exposure and whatnot and keeping kids in school given the staff situations, right? This is an update coming from Fresno Unified School District. They've increased their daily rate pay for substitute teachers. They're now paying a total of $208.04 per day for substitute teachers. The daily rate is now $163.04 plus an additional $45 per day to be prepared for possible simultaneous instruction. So it, because we've been struggling with how to manage this, this looks like this is the, hey, you might have to have, I don't know if this is some kids decide to go home and do distance learning or if we see rotations, but this is coming. So this is something that was just put out on the Twitter from Fresno Unified.
We've got a sub shortage. It's going to be a nightmare, and we're going to get to a point where we've got people with bachelor's degrees and 10 minutes of experience supervising classrooms so that teachers can try to teach via Zoom to in-class and online kids. Ed McAllister checking in on Facebook Live at Drive KMJ. He said he had a heck of a time getting into a polling place because of a locked fence. Ed, use the gate.
You might not have to show an ID, but you got to be able to scale a fence. How dedicated are you? I don't know what happened, Ed. Were you going to the right place?
I'm sure that there's a good reason for why the approach that Ed took was frustrating. But I'm glad that you got in. I'm glad that you voted. And again, don't go through the fence. Go through the gate. 490-5858. A lot of folks checking in on the phones. There is people are concerned. They want to make sure their vote counts. And we will do our best to answer your questions. We'll do our best to speak to your concerns. And I think that when we get to the other side of this thing, perhaps when the Fresno County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, James Kuss, has had, I don't know, an actual night's sleep, we're going to get him back on the show. We just saw him pop. Every television station in town sticking cameras in his face right now. And that was the face of a man who is in control of his environment and who has been working long hours.
Yeah, and if you missed that podcast, because it was super helpful, he was addressing concerns related to, you know, people having any questions, also security stuff with Sharpies, all of that. That is at kmjnow.com. You can get the podcast. It's a special featured guest from yesterday.
Let's go to the phones. 490-5858. I'm going to start with Philberto here. Welcome to KMJ.
Hello, hello.
Hey, man.
Fine.
What's your question, Philberto? What's going on?
I just left the voting place right here at Clovis East High School.
Yeah.
When I'm there at the booth, they have markers right there for people to fill out the voting paper.
Yeah.
They have actual markers right there, and it says official voting pen, but it's a marker. And I asked them, what's the marker for? And they said, oh, well, that's what they were provided with.
Yes. Yeah.
So we talked to James Kuss, the Fresno County Registrar of Voters, yesterday, like Skip was just saying. And using a felt marker is 100% okay. They just prefer that you not use a Sharpie because a Sharpie will bleed through. But you do; it's not a requirement that you use a ballpoint pen or a number two pencil. A felt tip marker is 100% okay.
But why does the ballot say blue or black ballpoint pen only?
Because that's the way the ballots were printed. But again, we talked to the guy whose job is to make sure that they get counted. Yeah. And it is completely okay. Like I said, he recommends against the Sharpie because Sharpies will bleed through that cardstock. But as far as a felt tip marker, as long as it's black or blue ink and you fill your bubbles in completely, there is no problem with that at all.
I have a question. Did he not trust the pen that was there? That were you concerned that Clovis East was, or that the election officials were trying to pull a fast one, or? Or you just?
Yeah, I just want to go get a pen. I want to go get ask for a pen, a regular pen.
Okay, so you didn't want to use their pen. Okay, I don't want to use other people's pens either.
Yeah, I carried my own. But apparently the green ink was throwing people off. Philberto, thank you for the call, man. It's a good question, and again, it's one of those things that in the moment you look around and go, is this actually okay? Yeah, absolutely. The felt tip pens are fine. And thank you for checking in. We're going to keep moving, though. Ann is next. Ann, thank you for waiting. Welcome to KMJ.
Hey, no problem. You were saying something earlier when you were talking about, and that I actually agree with you on, yes, Satan drove a snowplow to work today. but I voted against the recall.
Okay.
Turned in my ballot about 2 weeks ago. But I'm beginning to think that this fear of voter malfeasance is actually a Republican thing. And let me explain to you why. I remember 2016. I remember being in tears that a majority of my countrymen could vote for someone like Donald Trump. I wasn't surprised, but it upset me. However, I never doubted the process. I doubted my countrymen, and it made me very bitter, but I never doubted the process. So is there something wrong with me?
No, I don't think there's something wrong with you. This might be an unpopular opinion, but I think that it's worth noting. Part of the problem is that right-leaning media took a handful of statements and turned it into this massive ratings grab boogeyman. Because people forget that media doesn't really exist for this altruistic purpose of educating the populace so that they can make informed decisions. Media exists to get you to watch for as long as possible so they can sell advertisements.
Is it it bleeds, it leads. Yes.
If it bleeds, it leads is 100% a part of that process. And so I think that what was found was when Donald Trump lost the election in 2020, it was easier for people who wanted Donald Trump to win to hear that they had been cheated than it was for them to hear that Joe Biden won the correct key states. And rather than doing the responsible thing, rather than the Tucker Carlsons and the Laura Ingrams talking about the strategy, because it was Donald Trump that played the strategy game in 2016. He didn't win the popular vote. He won the Electoral College through winning the correct states. And if they had just explained that this was a little bit of a reversal of that technique, you would have had a very different situation. And I certainly think that January 6th would not have ever occurred. But unfortunately, we got into this feedback loop of, well, Tucker Carlson's on TV and he says that there's voter fraud, and that feels right because nobody I know voted for that jerk Biden. And so therefore there was voter fraud, and Tucker Carlson gets more people watching and sells more advertisement and keeps repeating that story, because sometimes people watch TV because it feels good, not because it makes them smarter.
But I never saw this kind of behavior in 2016.
Well, I think that's because... Seriously. Well, and you're right, because while there were a lot of people that were disappointed in the outcome of the election, it just didn't, there was no going back after 2016. And then it became this whole approach or strategy. And what we're seeing now is that that's now being carried over on a state level in terms of our own recall, because there's already the questions about it and we haven't even tabulated anything.
2016, the results of that election were in very large part the result of people who were tired of the two-party system manipulating, abusing, and lying to them to continue to have the stranglehold on power in this country. Donald Trump became the avatar of, I'm sick of this crap and something has to change. The idea that we just went right back to the most establishment thing in the world after the country said, no, we got it. We have to have change. Because if you sit down and you talk with a liberal, and this is what I think makes it even more confusing sometimes. If you sit down and you talk with a liberal, you'll be hard-pressed to find a lefty with brain one in their head who goes, oh, yeah, our government's doing exactly what we wanted it to do, and it's efficient, and it's honest, and it's open, and it's above board. Nobody's saying that. Nobody agrees with that. No sane person looks at our Congress and goes, oh, yeah, that's what the framers meant. And so then we get this establishment hack who's been part of the problem for longer than half of us have been alive. Of course, people thought there were shenanigans afoot.
Well, and when you had that big field of people that it all got whittled down to that, there are a lot of people on the left going, wait, how did we end up with this guy? But that's where we were.
I honestly believe, though I dread the thought that it could have come to pass, I honestly believe if Bernie Sanders had won in 2020, none of this election fraud stuff would be a part of the conversation. As much as the moderate left people hated Donald Trump, moderate right people would hate Bernie Sanders, but they'd recognize that he isn't part of the swamp. And that's the problem. We're sick of the swamp, and we're pretty sure there's some chicanery keeping the swamp in power.
Interesting. I wonder if that's happening on an alternate timeline right now.
And Larry David's making so much money.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ.
So you're off work, you're driving home, give yourself some extra time to go and hit up your polling station if you haven't done that yet. because today is the day that all those folks getting signatures were looking for, and that is a recall day. So we should have our first round of information coming at 8 p.m. when locally, well, across the state, they'll be able to, you know, let out all those results that they've been tabulating up until this point from all of the ballots sent in ahead of time. Phone lines have been super busy today.
A lot of really, really good calls today. And thank you guys for making them. It's there's a lot to cover here. There's a lot of different angles and concerns and ideas. And my God in heaven, are we really talking about Nicki Minaj's brother's?
It's so funny.
Sorry.
It's so funny how many different body parts of Nicki Minaj and people she knows become like topics of discussion on Tucker Carlson. So weird. But we'll keep testicles for another day. Where are we at now?
We're in hell. But let's talk to Ted anyways. Welcome to KMJ, Ted.
Well, Philip and Skip, good afternoon. I hope everyone's doing well. I didn't get a mail-in ballot this year, or for the California. I did get one for the presidential. So I thought to myself, you know, I'll just go in and I'll do my duty. Well, when I got there, come to find out, I had been unregistered to vote. So imagine my surprise. And they told me that if you get a new driver's license, there's a hiccup in the DMV and they deregister you to vote.
Oh, my God.
So is there
anything that the California Department of Motor Vehicles can't screw up?
I'll tell you what, it kind of surprised me, and we were able to get through it.
Okay.
But I got my driver's license in November of 2020. So that was after I mailed in and so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So just for listeners, if they don't get a... If they want to do the mail-in and they don't get one, and they happen to get a new ID card, a new driver's ID, then possibility you are deregistered. But hey, I was able to jump in there and do my duty, and I'm a firm believer that if the person you have in office is allowing or contributes to the state being on fire and gas taxes and everything else, obviously his plan's not working and we need to do something else.
Well, Ted, I'm glad that you were persistent in your pursuit there. Did you register for the real ID, or does it make a difference if it's the real ID versus the California ID?
No, ma'am. This is just a strict driver's license. That was it. And I don't know if anyone else has problems, but the ladies at the polling station said they have found this to be a problem in the past.
Okay, so they were able to answer that question, and you were able to still get your provisional ballot or whatever it was and get your vote in?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yes, ma'am, I was able to do my duty and so on and so forth. So I thought maybe somebody got a hold of my mail-in ballot and tried to do a vote for me, so I'm glad that wasn't it.
Okay, well, that's good, because that could have been a little scary, like it should have been there. Ted, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it, and appreciate that you went the extra mile to listen and ask questions. You know, maybe it kind of perked up like, oh my gosh, something is a little strange here, but you actually is afoot. I think that was the word I was looking for. But figuring out what the answer was and still being able to cast your vote.
It's a good thing to chase those answers down. And it's going to be, unfortunately, there's going to be more people like Ted that show up to try and vote that are going to get challenged with this. The nice thing is, if you went and you got a new driver's license, you have one of those essential documents that you would have to provide in order to re-register to vote immediately at the polling place, because thanks, DMV!
KMJ News now.
Fresno County hospitals at the brink with COVID patients. The Fresno County Health Department says ICU levels are between 125 and 150% of capacity. That's causing ICU patients to be placed in other non-ICU areas within hospitals, including ERs. Between 30 to 60 patients are considered less critical, still waiting to be admitted. A third are COVID positive. The San Joaquin Valley remains under a surge protocol requiring hospitals with ICU beds in the region to accept patient transfers. The county's Emergency Medical Services Coordinator Dan Lynch says federal assistance is being considered again for hospitals in Fresno, Tulare, and Kern counties. Traveling nurses and medical teams arriving in the area are helping with patient care. This week, they're seeing a slight decrease in hospitalized COVID-19 patients. Governor Gavin Newsom in the fight for his political life tonight, calling on supporters to help get out last-minute voters. He even brought in an even bigger Democrat to help ward off his termination. Here's Chief National Correspondent Matt Gutman.
So what are we going to do? We will turn out and vote no on this recall.
Governor Gavin Newsom sounding confident he won't be fired by the voters of California. Closing hours, Newsom turning the spotlight onto the leading Republican candidate to replace him, conservative radio host Larry Elder.
If we don't reject this recall, Larry Elder's the next governor of the state of California. I'm going to sound like Obama. Don't boo, vote.
President Biden hammering that same message.
He's the clone.
Polls in California closing at 8. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 292 points at 35,577. Valley weather right now, 98 and sunny at Radio City. Here's Kimberly Culliner with our Tuesday evening forecast.
Lows across the valley will be in the low to mid-60s this evening. 65 degrees will be as cool as Fresno gets. We're looking at a mostly clear night ahead. Plenty of sunshine and the heat sticks around for tomorrow as well. 97 will be the high in Fresno. As for Thursday, temperatures drop into the low 90s as a low-pressure system from the north approaches. From the KMJ Weather Center, I'm with the forecaster Kimberly Culliner, Fox 26 News.
With news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks, I'm Liz Kern, News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:35 on Recall Tuesday. It's your Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. A lot of calls today about the recall, and grateful to have them as the process continues. And by the way, if you're in the car and you're on your way home and you're going, oh my God, I forgot, go to a polling place and vote. You've got until 8 to drop your ballot in a drop box. It's after 5 now or 5:30. It's going to be too late to mail it. You're not going to get the post up, Mark. Yeah. And if you drop it in one of the blue bins, it's not going to get postmarked till tomorrow, yeah, which is no good.
Now, you can find those big, heavy, secure ones at certain locations. I think there's 40 some odd throughout the county. You can drop them in there, but you got to have it by 8 o'clock there as well.
The ballot drop boxes.
Yes.
Not mailboxes, ballot
drop boxes. The ballot drop boxes, yes. This is, whoever's running the KMJ Now Twitter feed is trolling folks. They retweeted Gavin Newsom. But only that California polls are open until 8. Find your polling place here. Which, okay, I think is like an appropriate retweet, but let's see if we retweet it, if we get any pushback on
it. Oh, you're inviting trouble. Okay.
Hey, the boss already did it through the KMJ Now Twitter feed. And you can tune in on our social media, keep tabs on the recall election results as they roll in. On our social media feeds, just follow us at kmjnow.com. You'll see that there. But polls are open until 8, and we'll see how many angry comments we get that we just literally are sharing that the polls are open. You could go and not vote for him.
But you got to see Governor Hair Gel, and that's upsetting.
Might be the last time you have to see him. Well, actually, even if he gets recalled, you got about a month left. Because we did the timeline on this. It's about a month out because you got to certify the election, and then he's got to pack up his bags and he's got to leave, and they've got to like swear in the next person if that happens.
4905858. And Michael checking in, responding, I think, to some questions from caller Ann earlier, who was confused and frustrated by an inclination on the right to embrace voter fraud theories that might not be universally held. Michael, welcome to KMJ.
Hey, thank you very much. I think it's beyond outrageous for someone to say, I'm a Democrat and we believe in voter integrity. I think they bend over backwards to ensure integrity can never be achieved. I think that one of the easiest ways to do it is voter ID. And then they hold up this flag of racism claiming that, oh my God, if you make someone of color go get an ID card, and I am a minority, that it's racism, which is ridiculous. I think they have a historic tie to trying to delegitimize and corrupt our elections going, you know, just like back in the 60s, you know, Sam Giancana, Joe Kennedy running booze, you know, during Prohibition, partnering up with the mob, wanting Joe Jr. to be president. Didn't happen. He died in World War II. So he gets JFK in there. He's about to lose. So he partners up with the mob and the Chicago labor union.
Oh, boy, we are going way back. Hey, Michael, I just have a quick question. Have you ever trusted anything? Because I just want to establish if there are certain trusted institutions.
I think it's always been this way. I was in the Army for 22 years, and we had a lieutenant who said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But he was talking about combat. Okay. And I think the difference is that Democrats are 100% willing to cheat, lie, and break the law, and to be brazen about it. And even when they do it, they will high-five themselves in victory, whereas the Republican side, the conservatives, are very conscious to not break the law for the most part. There's always exceptions on both sides. But I think you get people like George Soros out there. You look at wanting to give illegal aliens driver's licenses.
So, Michael, I get the feeling that there's we could keep going like this. And the fact of the matter is, I don't have any arguments to make about what you're saying. I think that the two political parties have done something that is it is one of the most fantastic features of the United States of America. We get to have it both ways all the time all over this country. You can cheat by going out and registering illegals and the dead a la Chicago machine, or you can cheat by going in and gerrymandering a district to the point that nobody to the left of Genghis Khan could ever win it. It's a never-ending cycle, and this is why Donald Trump won in 2016. People are sick of the swamp. They're sick of the same old, same old. And I said it earlier. I think if Bernie Sanders had won in 2020, all this election fraud crap never would have entered the popular discourse, because at least it would have been an outsider, even if it was an outsider that the right hated as much as the left hates Trump.
And you know who railroaded Bernie? The left. Look at Donald.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. During the debate. You're right.
They will absolutely, they'll cut their own throat.
So Michael,
they know he couldn't win.
So Michael, I just want to get your take on this before we got to move on here. Two questions.
Sure.
One, did you vote? And two, will you accept the results of the election either way?
I absolutely voted. I will always vote. I don't have any faith in California. I think they buy and pay for their votes. Is it going to be legitimate? Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Because of all of the coastal liberals. I think all the coastal liberals, just due to their massive numbers, will win this. I think the governor would have to burn them pretty darn bad, even worse than he already has, before they turn on their own.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's been an interesting part of watching this. Thank you, Michael, for your call. Great call. It's been an interesting piece to see because, yes, the left absolutely did position this as stop the Republican power grab recall. But then on the right, you had this this failure, I think, from the top leadership that they were not going to circle around any candidate whatsoever for fear that it might delegitimize another candidate. And so there was no unity in that. And then when Elder came to the front, then that was, boom, here we go. That's who, you know, Newsom's people could focus at.
Well, and it's, you know, it was an interesting thing in the course of getting ready for today's show. I tried to I try to make a point of reading as many different sources as I can get to. And Skip, you can testify to the fact that I throw away twice as many stories as I ever consider for the course of the 4 hours we hang out. Included in that is the least trusted name in news, CNN. Because, as with all things, at least twice a day, a stopped clock will be correct. CNN had an article, an op-ed that they published today, talking about the gift to Gavin Newsom that was Larry Elder entering the election. Now, I'm not talking about this from the perspective of somebody who sees things from the right. But travel with me to the furthest northern reaches of the KMJ broadcast signal. Join me as we make our way up San Jose, Cupertino, Sunnyvale, Palo Alto, Mountain View, and eventually up the peninsula towards the city. Very, very faint. KMJ just barely crackling at the edge of audibility as you cross over 16th and into San Francisco. And look around at those people. Not with malice, not with fear, not with the usual suspicion of metastasized 39 and a half square miles of bald-faced insanity surrounded on all sides by reality. But just look around at that big old city full of lefties and think about how they reacted to Larry Elder. The reaction was shock. It was horror. It was disgust. It was all of the things that one guns for when one goes out to own the libs. The problem is he was a candidate in an election that became the most popular and most visible candidate opposite a guy that, by the way, San Francisco thinks he sucks too. The liberals, all those limousine liberals, all those techie guys, all of the old hippies and burnouts and burrito vendors in the Mission, they all think Gavin Newsom sucks too. But Larry Elder's so good at the owning the libs thing. He's so good at pushing those buttons. He scared San Francisco into showing up. And CNN's point was that Gavin Newsom isn't winning because Gavin Newsom deserves to win. Gavin Newsom's winning because the Republicans didn't put forward a palatable candidate.
Well, and I think that is where, when we've taken calls, there is very much the Elder camp. The folks that buy into the shock jock perspective, the conservative talk guy, because he is going to hone in on that very small margin of people who are passionate. I was walking through the parking lot at Target and someone was driving around the Target yelling, "Vote Larry Elder."
But that's the thing, Skip. Do I think that Larry Elder can be extreme in his views? Sure, sometimes. I mean, that's just the nature. At some point, somebody's going to say something I think is crazy. But Larry Elder, because the political right has a learned and insulated vernacular, Larry Elder's not scary. He's not a boogeyman. He's not a villain. He's not going to upend the state of California. He's got conservative priorities and principles. The problem is the left has been excluded from that vernacular, so it just sounded like Donald Trump's photo negative.
No, see, but he did say, he was going to cause an earthquake in D.C. He did say that
Sacramento.
He said by getting rid of Feinstein, of his plan. He did say that the goal of, you know, ideal minimum wage was zero. He did say big, broad statements that work really good when you're running a conservative radio station. So it doesn't. I don't think that it was so much scaring the left as some people in the middle who were very much on board with, yeah, get rid of Newsom. You know, are they gonna, you know, still vote for, you know, like a Falconer or, you know, even a John Cox who tried running in the last election? But because Elder is the force to deal with, but is he too polarizing for the rest of everybody?
Yes, because the centerists and the leftists don't share the same vernacular. They don't share that perspective. It's not that he's so far right. you listen to Larry Elder, and you know, go back and go get an old Larry Elder show and listen to that versus the Mark Levin show. Mark Levin's to the right of Larry Elder by several paces. The problem is he showed up in this election and he hammered the points that Newsom, again, isn't talking about. All Gavin Newsom's doing is telling you that Larry Elder is going to do a bunch of stuff that is literally, legally, and constitutionally impossible for him to do. But because Larry Elder is a talk show host, has said those things, it's scaring people. And in this case, that's going to work to Newsom's advantage, because all those folks in San Francisco, he's anathema to their worldview.
I like that word. You know who changed his vocabulary, though, when he moved over into government? The Terminator.
Oh, God.
If you do not win today, do you have plans to run again when Gavin Newsom is up for re-election in a second term?
I have now become a political force here in California in general, and particularly within the Republican Party, and I'm not going to leave the stage.
Just want to say thank you so much for all of the amazing calls that have come through today on this Recall Tuesday. You can keep tabs on the recall election results all night on KMJ's social media feeds. Just follow us at KMJ Now. And that's on Facebook and on Twitter. And you'll get the first round of results coming up in T-minus 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah, not that anybody's counting.
Yeah. Okay, we got just a minute here. Do you think Newsom's sweating this thing at all?
I think so. I think if he was sitting pretty, he wouldn't have been out on the campaign trail. He could have just been like, oh, business as usual, let the people have their, you know, recall or whatever. But he has been really having to perform.
When Gavin Newsom sweats, do you think he blinks with both sets of eyelids?
I thought you were going to ask what he smells like, and I was going to be like, that's weird.
I know what he smells like. He smells like hair gel. Hair gel and wine I can't afford.
Like cheap hair gel or like fancy hair gel?
No. He's using like Pacino's or something like that.
I don't even know what that means, but I know I pay $11 for a really fancy kind of hair thing and it smells good.
Oh, boy. He probably uses Aquanet. There's the slander I'm going to go with. Gavin Newsom uses Aquanet! Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Feeding Families Fun Drive is back. It is the 8th annual Feeding Families Fun Drive, and your donations are going to be matched 50 cents on the dollar. An incredible day with Gar Bennett, Farm Credit, The Market, and me and Ed's Pizza. This whole thing's a benefit for the Central California Food Bank. The money that you donate is serving our community. It's serving our neighbors. The amount of need that the Central California Food Bank has to care for has grown exponentially over the course of the pandemic. And that's why we're back. Year 8, the Feeding Families Fun Drive, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., The Market at Herndon and West. Hoping to see you out there. And we'll have more information in the days to come about how you can donate in person or online. If you want to read ahead of the class, go to kmjnow.com. But again, Gar Bennett, Farm Credit, The Market at Herndon and West, me and Ed's Pizza, and News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. Looking forward to that and to seeing all of you folks. We got to go.
Bye.